Broadcasting on all frequencies from the jungle of death, you're listening to Babes in the Woods.
And we're live. Okay, so I'm going to kick this bitch off. Hello, babes. Welcome to our fifth episode this week. We're doing a Halloween special for you. It's October. It's a spooky month of the year that I tend to thoroughly enjoy. I think the whole internet enjoys it. If I read one more blog post about pumpkin spice lattes, I'm going to punch someone in the face. So I'm not going to beleaguer the fall point, but suffice it to say, I think we all know that it's the best season. So in this very special episode, I wanted to point out, is made possible by my awesome boss, Awesome Sauce, Erica Waller. She is super great, and though we discussed shitty jobs last week, I am one of the lucky few that enjoys a super awesome job, mainly thanks to her, and I hereby declare her the Lady Nerd of the Week. Let songs be written in her honor. So this week we're going to talk a little bit about, because it's our Halloween special, we're going to talk about why we love Halloween as ladies, and why we enjoy being scared. Classic horror movies, and how they sort of wove their way into our adolescent experiences, sleepover parties, and became horror movies, their place in cinema, but their place also in our lives, and also their connection to this super awesome holiday. And we'll also regale you, I think, with our plans for Halloween and our costume choices, which I know you're as excited about as we are. So before we dig in any deeper, Nyssa, I think you have you're our expert on lore. You have an overview, I think, on the roots of Halloween.
I think expert might be overstating it a little
bit. She's an expert!
I mean,
it can't be understated.
I'm probably the history nerd out of this group, so whatever. But I don't really know what you're looking for in terms of history. I mean, like so many of our holidays, it's a sort of amalgamation of the things we like and didn't like about various pagan holidays, the most famous of which, you know, and any good goth will tell you that what Halloween really is Samhain.
Is that how you pronounce that word?
Sorry?
That's how you pronounce that Samhain-looking word?
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, looks like Samhain, but since it's Irish, yeah.
I hate Irish words.
Nasal consonants disappear when you put an H after them in
yeah,
Irish.
That's like
because
that
the spelling
Siobhan
committee and the pronunciation committee were fighting.
Oh my God, dreadful.
What now?
That
I
name
feel like
Siobhan,
this is why they were taken over by the English.
That's in all of the Irish novels. S-I-O-B-H-A-N. That for years
Siobhan.
In my...
Siobhan, yeah.
Siobhan. What the hell?
All right, Cromwell, sit down.
I do what I want.
Take your round heads elsewhere.
I was already sitting. So, continue.
Okay, so yeah, it comes from harvest festivals and also the tradition that at sort of the turning of the seasons, the veil between the worlds, as it were, is the thinnest. And so, like, you know, the costume tradition comes from hiding from your dead relatives' souls when they're going to come and haunt you.
Whoa! That's hilarious.
That's great.
Isn't that kind of awesome?
That's
like,
so good.
Oh, the dead people are going to be around. Better make sure they don't follow me home.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what jack-o'-lanterns were for also. I mean, when they were turnips and so on. And
back up. Turnips?
What? Oh, yeah. Jack-o'-lanterns used to be turnips.
How?
In Ireland and England, they used to be hollowed out, carved turnips.
That feels like a lot of work for something that's going
to
be very
America,
small.
And pumpkins were a lot easier to find than turnips.
Also larger and better.
Yeah.
Just generally superior to turnips in every way.
It's generally the story of America, though, versus the old world.
AKA Britain.
Pumpkins versus turnips. Pumpkins win every time.
Yeah, dude.
True.
King of the squash.
Or so Pinterest would tell me.
And Pinterest never lies. That's not true. Pinterest lies all the time about how cute your stuff is going to turn out.
Yeah. I really like that fail blog. Where
it's, yes.
Like, Pinterest told me to do this and things just look terrible.
Pinterest lied horribly.
The Pinterest.
So what else do we have? I don't know. What else about... Oh, trick-or-treating didn't really come around until the late 20s, early 30s. It used to be traditional to, like, just play pranks and stuff in a sort of... you know, Devil's Night kind of extended tradition, but it got really violent and...
It got really violent and broke Mrs. Internet.
It broke the internet.
That's how hard Devil's Night was before they rehabilitated it.
All I can think of is that old Shockwave cartoon with Raddus Skull. I think that's what it is in my head.
Totally.
Oh, hey, am I back now?
Yeah, you are.
That's yes, it. You are.
Hooray for internet.
Well, at least you know, it provided an interesting pause.
It did provide a very interesting pause.
Well, that's good, I guess.
Pregnant pause, if you will.
It was a pause that was pregnant with possibilities, and Flumpy and I filled it with two of the most ridiculous options for speech. You'll enjoy it later. Don't worry.
You are. Okay, good. Yeah, I don't know what else we should talk about with respect to Halloween history, but
just
if something else comes up, I can always cover it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think that basically, for as long as there's been film, there's been horror film. So I think that's exactly the natural connection there when you're talking about, you know, I think we've been telling scary stories as cultures around the world forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, mm-hmm. they serve various purposes, but ultimately, one of the things that I find most interesting is that now we don't scare off our dead relatives with costumes. We don't, you know, like, we're not placing those jack-o'-lanterns because we think the veil between worlds is thinner. I think that, October's a fun month and Halloween's a fun holiday because it's a time during which we embrace our collective desire to be scared a little. And it's a comfortable time to do it. And that's why, you know, Halloween has always been one of my top holidays. I enjoy it a lot. Thanksgiving, still number one, because mm-hmm. that's just about eating. There's zero expectations
that's
of
true.
Anything else. It's really just a fatty day, and I like that about it.
Halloween is the number two highest grossing holiday in the country.
That's not surprising. I was buying stuff for the Halloween party that I am part of the party planning committee for, which, P.S., we have a party planning committee for it.
I was just going to say something
that's
about
awesome.
That.
And I found myself buying crap on Oriental Trading Company at a rate you would not believe. Like, so many $3 things that suddenly I'd spent, you know, like, almost
$40. Right, it's funny how you can pay, like, $4 a gross and then end up spending $800.
I was like, wow.
That'll just going to be
but
all
I've
over your
some,
house forever.
I've got some awesome decorative stuff that I am super stoked to whip out on my fellow committee mm-hmm. members, is my
good.
Whole story. And some
nice.
Of it's stuff that you can, like, carry over. Like, I'm using the brain jello mold that I've used
that's
several
awesome.
Years in a row. So, like, I feel like it's not all disposable, at least. So that's,
well,
a good thing
good.
About
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's a spendy holiday, but it's awesome for a couple of reasons. Like, it's, you know, it's October, so everything gets cooler. When you go outside with your cold beer on that cold night in your costume, there's something, like, distinctly magical about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a family holiday when you're in your 20s and 30s. Well, however long you don't have a family that you have to, like, go trick-or-treating with. So it's... You know, it's great because there's zero expectation of me hanging out with my parents on Halloween. Like, it's a holiday that is sheerly enjoyable in that way. And then, yeah, I mean, like, all these horror movies get released this month. And I always enjoy it. I'm actually planning a double feature this weekend to go see Paranormal Activity 4 and Sinister back to back. Be super creeped out. And then I will just be stressed out all day and Lewis will have to deal with me.
I can't watch those Paranormal Activity movies. I can't do it.
I love them, because I love found footage movies. I don't care that they're corny and bad. I just don't care. I love them.
I have an admission to make, which is that I haven't seen any of the Paranormal Activity movies.
You shut up. Okay, because this is the other thing I
really
wanted to ask
to.
You guys. This is the other thing I wanted to ask in this episode, because, listeners, this is Glinzy, and I am totally obsessed with horror movies, and I have been for many years.
That's a true story.
And I inflicted them a lot on high school friends. Like, my dear Nissa and Flumpy here. And I just wonder how much you guys watch them without me.
I do. I've watched them a lot more than I would have otherwise since high school.
Yeah, so, I would say that's true. I think you got me into... You definitely were the dealer in the horror movie realm.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah, I would say you caused me to have an appreciation where previously I did not have one.
I was so scared.
I'm
the first
so
movie
gratified.
Made me watch that was scary was Sixth Sense, and that wasn't even that scary.
I'm still awful at horror movies, though. So bad at them.
That no, Nissa, you are the best kind of horror film viewer to have around because you make little noises. You take my own fear up another level, and I really appreciate that about you.
You make it scarier to watch when you're in the room.
It's true.
Well, I guess that's useful.
It's very useful.
But in this, our inaugural Halloween special, because I really do hope we'll make them a yearly thing.
Absolutely.
What I wanted to talk about, because we are babes in the woods, is a little bit more about women in horror movies. And sort of the way that I think part of the reason I love them so much from childhood, and part of the reason I'm such a big fan of Halloween and horror movies, is because I felt more connected to horror movies, specifically because there are so many female protagonists in them. And it was more so than I encountered in other genres. And yes, these poor women were terribly imperiled. But I was really, I do think that was part of what drew me in. And I was actually reminded earlier today of that quote from Edgar Allan Poe, that the death of a beautiful woman is the most poetical topic in the world. And I think it kind of like has like created this whole, I think it's really sort of guided the genre to varying degrees throughout, because you, there's also, I was reading up on it, and Dario Argento said something like, I'd rather watch a beautiful woman be terrorized than, like, any other person, like, which also makes sense, you know, to a degree, because, like, you know, like, it is about how you appear on screen, so I find that aspect of it really interesting, but, yeah, so many female protagonists, your Sidney Prescott's, your Laurie Strode's, even your Ellen Ripley's, just running away, eluding and sometimes outwitting the killer, and the way that was empowering to me in my youth. So I just didn't know, you know, it's just, there are so many strong women and weak women in horror that I think that it's you could actually describe it as sort of a female-dominated genre. And then what I find fascinating about it, too, is these are movies that I think, because of the gore level, are typically marketed to boys a little more, and yet they're forced to identify with a female protagonist so many times.
And a female protagonist that often survives.
Sorry. I was just gonna say how that's similar to things like Tomb Raider and stuff, where, like, yeah, you're looking at a chick, but you're not really identifying with her. The whole thing with horror movies is you're watching this girl and you're rooting for her, but mostly if you're, you know, part of the male audience, I think that they would say they feel protective of her, and that's why they root for her, rather than they identify with her. Mm. So they are not living her struggle. They're, you know, supporting her in it in a male way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's another way that they circumvent, you know.
Yeah, I think that's
admitting to privilege sort of deal.
I think it's super true to a degree. I also, I recently read the super awesome book, which I highly recommend to you guys and also to our listeners, called Men, Women, and Chainsaws. And it's film critique by this woman named Carol Clover. And what she did, she talks about specifically, you know, like, male gaze in horror. And one of her points about it is, like, you have these, like, women, and they're the last victim, right? Like, they're the ones that stumble over their bodies of their friends. They're the ones who have, like, the full sense of the terror. And really also the full, like, the suffering that comes with that. And because they survive in these movies, they're also going to carry these memories with them longer. So, like, you know, like, even though you, the whole definition of, for her, of Final Girl is you survive, you outwit, or you just elude. Sometimes you kill the killer. But you're never not a victim. And she says that, I found this really interesting, I'm going to quote it directly here. So, she is the one who is chased, cornered, wounded, whom we see scream, stagger, fall, rise, and scream again. She is abject terror personified. And so one of Carol's points is that she doesn't think that men would be comfortable seeing a man be that scared.
Right.
So they need to have this female conduit. And I think that that's really fascinating.
I absolutely believe that.
Yeah. I think it's hard for men to look at other men and see them being victimized. It's really difficult cultural.
But it's totally okay for us. Like,
it's
totally
bad for us. Well, I think there's a really, Stephen King has said this, which is kind of an interesting idea, especially if you view it that way. He says that the link between pornography and horror stories is that we are seeing our fantasies enacted on screen. So it's kind of that idea of, we don't become serial killers because we get to live vicariously through the serial killers on the
screen. And the whole idea of describing, like, particular gory horror films like Hostel and stuff as torture porn, like, it's really not, you know, a lie. It's not
it's really not
hyperbole in any way.
No, I mean, I definitely think that where horror has gone in the past few years has just been sort of a, it's been annoying and obvious and
brutal. They're just not scary anymore. They're just not gross.
They're just completely disgusting. I got my tonsils taken out a few years ago and it left me with zero taste for like just the like super bloody Eli Roth driven like horror. Mm-hmm. Like, I had, like, these complications, and I just didn't want to look at it anymore. Like, blood geysers aren't interesting to me, and I just don't care about you slicing someone's arteries in that way. I like it when things are spooky. I like it when things are, again, I like the sensation of being, like, scared, and I love identifying with the final girl, because the other thing is she emerges triumphant. And there's something really
Sort of. I mean, it's never really a win, just because you live.
In some cases, that is. I feel like, with Sydney Prescott at the end of Scream 2, when she strides off screen, she's strong, she's still gonna, like, she's still in college, you know, she's seen her way through not one, but two of these incidents. She's a really, like, sort of magnificent final girl, and so is Ripley,
too. But her entire life is ruined, like, her psychology is never gonna be the same.
Like. Well, I mean, like, but the thing is, she's a survivor, and that's the other thing I find in the more hopeful sort of versions of Final Girl. I find it really exciting to think about, you know, like, what this says to, like, survivors of real trauma in real life. Like, you're gonna go on, you'll be psychologically damaged, and, like, yes, it's a hurt that you'll carry with you forever, but you get to continue to live and hopefully to, like, you know, find new things to do. Like, in the third Scream movie, it opens with Sydney, you know, helping other women who are, like, I think rape survivors on the phone, and I think that's, you know, obviously that's not the norm. But I hope that that's something that we're moving towards, because I think that I was reading today about that poor young woman at Amherst. Did you guys read that?
No.
She wrote an editorial for their newspaper. She was raped by a classmate, and she reported it to her school authorities, and they told her that they wouldn't do anything about it, and that she should just seek counseling. And they created a really... what's the word I'm looking for? A really dreadful...
A hostile
environment for her. And then when she, basically when the situation, because they told her she couldn't do anything about it and she was forced to interact with this young man, it's not a very large campus. When she was driven by the circumstances to feel suicidal, and she expressed that in the counseling center, they had her committed, and then they threatened not to let her go back to campus. So it's just... It's sort of a big deal, I think, on the internet today, because, like, it's about how college campuses want to deflect that information and keep it, you know, so that, you know, young women don't think about it when they come to their campuses and they feel safe.
Right.
Which every young woman has a right to. But I was thinking about her when I was thinking about this episode, because I was like, you know what? What's cool about Final Girl is that I think it's encouraging, right? Mm-hmm. It says terrible things can happen to you, but life continues, and you can walk away from that brutality, not forget about it, but you can, you can, you know, there are still possibilities for you. Because like, I mean, just like Eunice, like I would watch movies like The Descent, and in some cases I think you would be psychologically broken by
the fact that unlike everyone else, I remember that the ending of The Descent is not that she gets out. She doesn't get out. She never gets out.
I know she doesn't get out, but that's the European version. I like the one where she gets out.
Because you forgot the last 2 seconds of the movie where her eyes open.
And then you make The Descent 2 to make more money. So I'm sticking with the version I watched in theaters, because he was willing to do so.
this is my whole story. I saw it in theaters with you.
I know. I made you go. I made you go. So, I think it's really interesting, because I think that horror movies have historically been so sexist, but now I think that we have the possibility of turning them into something really empowering.
I really loved, just as a side note, Cabin in the Woods, kind of, as Joss Whedon does, he, of course, subverted the whole Final Girl with Buffy. That was the whole point.
Right.
But, having it be that it was a final girl and a final boy, and that it's kind of this... It was just an interesting idea that none of these characters, like the kind of like sexy girl, like none of it was on their own terms. Like those people weren't like that in real life. You know, they became that because that's what's expected. That's what people want. And that's like, I love it. It's the idea that that's what like the gods or whatever want to have happen.
Right.
They want this same story over and over again. And obviously the gods are, you know, viewers and audiences and people who pay to see the movies. And it was just kind of an interesting commentary, I thought, on the idea that
I liked that. I thought it was cute.
I liked too.
Yeah,
that
well,
she,
on our own expectations.
Yeah, I liked it too that she bought into then the idea of like making the sacrifice. Like at one point towards the end, she's willing to shoot Topher. I forget what his name is in the movie, and she's willing to kill him to keep the gods at bay, and he's willing to accept the system. And I think that that was a really interesting, like, you know, like, if you have these two characters survive, how are they going to interact? And I was actually reminded, too, of the movie Wolf Creek has a fake-out final girl. I don't know if you guys ever watched it, and I don't want to, like, spoil it. Wolf Creek has, like, this girl who's, like, she's tough, and she's making it through, and you identify with her so strongly. And then she gets killed, like, in the last, like, 10 minutes of the movie. And then it's revealed that one of her, her like, the fellas that were traveling with her in the Australian outback was hiding, and he makes it off. I think it's interesting because I think horror cinema is so aware at this point. Like, it's been around for so long, and the cliches run so deep. I think we're starting to see really interesting things get done with that and played with
it. Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so... I wanted to list my top five final girls.
All right.
I would describe them as the essential final girls. Like, if you're going to get into horror movies, these are the ones to beat, I guess is what I would say. Number five, I would say, is Sally Hardesty from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, who I would argue is not going to be okay after her experiences. No. What do you think, ladies?
I mean, she's definitely not going to be okay. I know I wouldn't be okay after.
No, she's not going to make it.
That's kind of crazy.
If she manages not to be committed for the rest of her life, that'll be her only victory.
I mean, her only hope, right, is repressing the, like, are they incestuous cannibals? Like, or are they just repressed cannibals? Repressed cannibal family of redneck barbecuers.
Are they incestuous? I know they are in Hills Have Eyes.
I know, exactly. And that's, they're sort of, like, the Hills Have Eyes, though, is the one that, like, kicks up, like, the redneckness enough.
Right, right.
So I'd assume they're not incestuous in Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I'd assume they're just creepy as hell.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. I always assume that they're incestuous, possibly because of the whole redneck vibe.
Like, right, because
they're the stereotype of the redneck. Yeah.
I think I'm thinking on Leatherface's, like, his issues of gender identity. Like, we see him, right, wearing the, like, house coat and with the creepy lady leather face on. At one
point, the whole Ed Gein thing is just a little on the nose there.
I think it's, I think he's fascinating because he makes all these little noises. Leatherface, to me, is the scariest villain, or scariest antagonist, I guess is more correct, in horror movies ever. Like, he's the one that stresses me out the most. That whole movie is the one that stresses me out the most. Just because it's so 70s dirty.
Yeah.
And super dusty.
It's just, ugh, even when it's clean, which is never, it's, you know,
Leatherface is always freaky. It's just, there's a lot going on, and cannibalism in general kind of becomes,
and all,
like,
you have to do
thing.
Is not go into their creepy house. It's
right?
All
this is the first rule.
I guess they're marked for, like, they're kind of marked for death because that guy, like, slits his hand and, like, puts it on their van or whatever, but, like, they just have to not go in the house. That's all they have to do, and I get so mad about it every time because they just do it.
Just wander in.
Anyway, and there's annoying wheelchair brother.
We, of course, have our own pact, and I feel like everybody should have a pact like this. Number one, you don't go into the creepy house.
Don't.
Number two, if for some reason one of us has gone into the creepy house, none of us
follow. No one follows,
no matter what you hear.
Audience,
I can't help you if I'm dead, too.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. That's exactly right, Nyssa. Audience, if you see any one of us go into a creepy house, here's what we have to say about it. Don't follow us.
It's not a good idea. We were scared.
We were probably, like, we're being controlled by magnets inside of our bodies, or...
Like, Magneto's inside the house. Don't go there.
There's a priest of some kind that's, like, possessed our spirits. Like, that's what's going on, and you should not engage.
Don't be part of that.
Because, like, okay, just like, here are your creepy house scenarios in horror, right? Like, it's full of serial killers, is one option. Two is it has ghosts.
Also bad.
Three is it has supernatural serial killers that might be part ghost.
Right.
Part ghost.
And then four is, it's a Japanese horror house, which means that it might have electronic zombie ghost thingies.
Right, that's the worst kind, because it doesn't matter if you go in the house. If the house doesn't like you, like, you're fucked anyway.
And what creeps me out about it the most, I'm going to say this out loud, and it's going to sound totally ridiculous, is that I wouldn't know what a creepy Japanese house would look like. I feel like they all just look kind of like dojos. And
yes, every house in Japan is a dojo.
I would just go in. I'd just be like, oh, this looks clean, right? Because Japan's so clean. What's my warning sign?
Well, if you remember, like, The Grudge and stuff, they're not, you know, it's not a particularly creepy-looking house. It's
no, despite the fact that they threw that, like,
house. But that's because in that movie, there are no rules.
Yeah, that's
it follows you home. Like, you can pull up the covers and lock the room and throw the telephone out into the friggin' hallway, but she still gets you, and that's awful.
The Grudge is an asshole.
And that one actually also has a really interesting look at the final girl in terms of how really nobody survives. There is no one who can survive. I mean, spoiler alert, but no one survives. Yeah.
I find
Asian horror is so bad that way.
It's really bleak. It's bleaker than American horror. By a long shot, I'll tell you.
Well, we won't accept that on, you know, such a wide scale. We can have occasional movies with, you know, a sort of bleak ending, but, like, we just won't deal with it. We won't accept it as an audience as much as, I guess, Asian audiences will.
It's because they're Spock and we're James T. Kirk and it's the Kobayashi Maru.
Exactly.
I like that, and it's kind of sadly appropriate.
The other thing I was going to talk about when we're talking about J-horror, because I want to bring it up, is The Ring. Because I didn't realize until, I think, like, 4 years ago, which I guess The Ring was released, like, 10 years ago, which is terrifying.
Oof.
But I didn't realize that she's just going to kill her parents with the tape, is the way she saves her son. Did you guys realize this?
What?
I knew she was going to kill somebody else with the tape, but
Right, she made the copy.
She, like, calls her dad, like, and is like, hey, dad, at the end of the movie...
Is this in the Japanese version or the American?
I think it's in the American version, too, with Naomi Watts. But, like, in both of them... Yeah, like in the Japanese one, it's basically, like, euthanasia, I guess. Like, her aging parents are just, like, old and, like, suicide isn't more acceptable in their culture. But, like, what a terrible way to euthanize your parents.
That's awful. Oh, my
God. That's sort of awesome. Like, I didn't realize that. Oh, my God.
Anyway...
Her kid sucks anyway. Don't save him. Like...
No.
That's what I was going to say, I think, for... And I know this is planning way in advance. But for Halloween special number 2, I think we should totally focus on creepy kids. Like, we do Final Girl.
That's a good idea.
Then that's true, because kids. There are so many creepy kids.
Too many creepy kids to mention.
Creepy kids are always bad news.
Yeah, they're the worst. They're the worst, and they're crawling on the walls with their creepy little fingers. I just hate them.
No creepy kid talk. No more.
Because we're saving all our good material for next year. But I would say Final Girl number 4 to beat would be Nancy Thompson of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Fair.
She's so cool.
Yeah, she's resourceful, she's a dream warrior, she's dating Johnny Depp.
Dude.
Oh, she's got a terrible, terrible mom. She's got a Joyce.
Yeah, she does.
She has a total Joyce, yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Which is actually another theme in all horror. I came to realize this. I was reading through my list and making a couple of notes. And then her dad is played by that guy. What's that actor's name? James Mason, who's in all those Bruce Lee movies.
Yes.
And it's so weird because his features are just way too chiseled for 80s movies.
Like, you're just like, wait, like, a minute.
Too much to deal with. Like, everyone else is so, like, soft looking, and then it's like, oh my God, what's with your face? Like, in some ways,
your corners are too sharp.
In some ways, he's more startling than Freddy. But, like Freddy is, I think Freddy Krueger is a really interesting villain because he lives in your dreams and he gains power through them. And I just, I found him fascinating because he's such a despicable character, right? Like, Leatherface is just
a pedophile to start with, and then, and then he becomes a monster.
Exactly. And it's just, it's so much like, it's such a, you know, I was thinking about Freddy and how he's such a fun counterpoint to the Candyman, but how they're both such, like, 80s fear, like, you know, like, accumulations of ideas. And his grimy sweater in the boiler room, knives for nails. I love Freddy Krueger. I haven't seen the remake, on purpose.
I haven't either, actually.
I forgot there was one.
Yeah.
Who's in it?
I don't remember now.
I was initially excited because it's that guy from who played Rorschach in Watchmen.
Oh, yeah, Jackie Earle Haley.
Thank you, because I knew it was three names, but I didn't know which ones they were.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that now, but also not caring to watch it.
I saw the Halloween remake, but not the Nightmare Before Elm Street.
I saw the Texas... I think I made you guys watch the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake as well in theaters. Didn't I?
With hey, Jessica I don't Biel. Know. I haven't seen any of those remakes.
That one was not good. Either.
So why would I do that?
No reason. No reason, friend. So, final girl number three. And Nissa may object to this on the grounds that there are two endings. Is Sarah Carter from The Descent.
I think she might be my favorite final girl.
She's a badass.
Lumpy final girl.
I actually really like her. I think she's a great character. And I think that, you know, if you're going to pretend that she got out, which she didn't, there's still some merit to her. Well, but, like, still... I like that she's still so badass and she's still, like, you know, she kind of wins. But I don't know. I feel like it's very British the way, like, mm-hmm. You know, she still wakes up in the bone pile. It's just like, well, I'm not going to get out of here, but I did my best.
Yeah, I mean,
she's a survivor in two sense because she is, she, in two sense, that's not a phrase, but because she survives the car crash in the very beginning and is surviving this traumatic event already.
Right, and there's then just all this overwhelming sense of it's not fair.
Yeah. Like,
she's in the car crash, she loses her kid and her husband, then she finds out that her beloved husband was cheating on her with this bitch, and then, like, all this other stuff, and cave zombies, and you're just like, no, but seriously, like, that's not fair.
It is not fair. It's not fair at all.
But ice pick to the knee, definitely fair.
It feels righteous. Like, when she hits that bitch in the leg, I'm like, yeah.
Also, I love the, like, the...
I just didn't kill her. She's like, I'm not gonna kill you.
No. What? She's gonna let them kill her. And then I love her, like,
cave zombies.
Actually, that gives her a strange corollary to the grudge. I'm sorry, the ring. I'm just gonna let Samara, like, eat your face.
right? Or, like, literal baptism in blood. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's so badass. So awesome. One of the best scenes in horror ever. When she comes out of it and she's got that, like, is it a pick or has she, like, is it bones? I forget
I think it's a bone.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I think she's got, like, an antler or a rib or something.
Because it's like a, it's a play on going native. Right?
Right.
At that point. Like,
right, because then she takes that, she has to wait out the female cave zombie.
Yeah.
Like, right when she crawls out. And it's just like, I can play this game too, because you've made me that crazy.
And I love it too, because it subverts our ideas on motherhood as well to a certain degree. Like, she kills the kid, cave troll thingy. And I love, Sarah is, she goes a little berserk. Which makes her a really compelling and interesting character to watch. And they develop the relationships between this group of women that go into this cave so well.
They do.
Yeah, I just... The Descent is distinctly underrated, and, you know, Sarah Carter is a really cool final girl.
Absolutely.
Right, definitely.
So number two on my list is Sydney Prescott of the Scream series.
Sydney's amazing. Mm. I mean, I really like Scream because I love... you know, the humor in it, and I love her as a character is so easy. She's so easy to root for, which sometimes you watch, like, Final Girls, and you always know who the final girl's going to be. Like, that's just always kind of established pretty early
on.
Easy. But she, pretty much right from the get-go, you're like, I like you. I like that this is happening, not to you, but I like that you are the person who we are going to be following.
I feel confident in your ability to handle this.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I feel like a lot of final girls you kind of grow to love. So even Sarah Carter, I kind of found to be at first, I was like,
I'm a little worried about you. You're a little milquetoast. I'm concerned. You're post-trauma. There's that scene in The Descent where she's in the narrow passage and she's having that attack of claustrophobia. And I remember the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, dear, how is she going to deal with everything else?
Yeah.
Right.
But, I mean, like, you know, like, it's different with Sydney, who always feels, like, from the very first encounter with, what's, like, the guy has a name, like, the mask guy. They call him something, Ghostface.
He has something like that.
On the internet. So
I have no idea.
From her first encounter with him, like, she's capable. She's slamming doors. She's moving around, but she's not moving in stupid ways. She shows a willingness to punch. That is, you know, awesome. And, you know, Sydney is, I think that an interesting feature of many of these final girls is that they've had past traumas as well. Sydney's mother, we learn at the beginning of the first Scream movie, has been violently murdered the year before. And so she's hatching her way through deeper issues as well. And sort of emerges as a heroine you don't just root for. You really like her. And you like too that she surrounds herself with pretty capable friends. Unfortunately, most of them bite it.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. But I love to, I mean, her mom being kind of known as like the town slut.
Yeah.
Kind of tying into the sexuality of most horror films as well, which was great. And that she loses her virginity and still survives. And that, I just love that whole subversion going on there.
Yeah, totally. Because the other aspect of Final Girl that Carol Clover talks about is that they do tend to be these virginal characters. Right? Like, you know, like, there are these rules about the way you behave if you're going to be this survivor.
Right, if you deserve to live, it's only because you fulfill these qualities.
Yes. Which is interesting, again, because obviously that must be what the writers of these scripts thought was the expectation of the viewer, who was, again, assumed to be male. So I think that part of it is not just that you control the sexuality of your main character, but that her, because you're going to identify with her, she has certain aspects of her personality that are a little androgynous, and you can't see her have sex with a man if you're going to have your viewer, you know, root for her in the same way, which is interesting.
Right.
I was going to say that one of the things I find interesting, too, in a lot of these movies is the way that the perspective shifts, so that at the beginning of the movies, we're seeing things very clearly through a third spot. Like, we're just omniscient. Mm-hmm. We're seeing what happens in various locations of a town or of a setting. And then we switch, in general, when we get to the final girl and we begin to see through the eyes of the killer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, absolutely.
Right. And I think that the one that it's most notable in actually is in my top choice, which is Laurie Strode of Halloween.
Hands down. Yeah.
Because we see her at the very end of Halloween in the climactic confrontation. She has closed herself into a very flimsy-looking closet, and she's ready to... It's a wire hanger to stab him in the eye. She's already stabbed him once with a very feminine tool, a knitting needle, and we see his view of her inside with the hangers all above, like how small and crouched she looks, and I think that that's very interesting, and I just wonder, you know, If the camera represents the male gaze in these, and all of a sudden we switch to the killer's, you know, view, I think it's talking more about, like, what Flumpy brought up from Stephen King, and, you know, our own violent desires and the ways we repress them and then express them in this media.
So I think it's also interesting how she's related to him in a way that not all killers are. I mean, there's usually a connection of some kind, but she's literally related to him. Which is kind of an interesting idea.
It's a fun connection, actually, with Sydney, because Sydney also finds out in the third Scream movie that the big bad that orchestrates that whole, and like, we find out that something in the beginning, right, was not what we expected it to be. So even though it was, what's his face, Billy Loomis and I forget that, Matthew Lillard's character, who killed Sydney's mom and then terrorized her for the course of Scream 1, it turns out that they were actually being orchestrated by this guy in Hollywood who's now producing the latest Stab movie, which is the, you know, the parody, the movie within the movie, the play within the play.
Right.
And it turns out that he's her brother, the love child that his mother, that her mother left behind. So I think that it's interesting because he is, to a certain degree, just another Michael Myers, another angry boy with a sister. Which is a really weird and interesting, you know, theme to have running through horror.
It's a really weird theme because I feel like also both, you know, you have the Michael Moore, you have your F. Michael Moore, you have Michael, you have, you know, the slashers in all of the Scream movies. It's a knife, which is penetration.
Right.
So it's really weird that those two films, which are so big on it being definitely a knife and not really any other
type
of weapon.
What's the name of that complex? It's not...
Yeah.
It's not Oedipus and Electra, it's the other one.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
The other complex, as we shall now call it.
The brothers and sisters complex instead of the parents complex.
The Cersei and Jamie
complex. Not to be complex. Confused brothers and sisters, the show.
But yeah, so I think it's really,
I don't know.
I think it's really interesting. I think it's really creepy. And that's one of the other things I like about horror movies is you just, there's the scares and then there are the creeps that lurk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I find them so, it's part of what makes them so watchable to me and so rewatchable. Like I will probably watch every single one of these movies I just listed in the next couple of weeks because I feel like it and AMC lets me.
On the other hand, I'm going to watch Hocus Pocus.
I'm going to watch both.
Well, I'm going to watch Hocus Pocus as well. We actually, the Halloween party I'm going to every year has a, we call it the bathroom movie. We put a scary movie on in the bathroom. Past years, it's been, year before last, it was It, which is surprisingly, it's too long to be a bathroom movie, though there is a lot of creepy, what's his face? He's up on our blog. What's his name? That actor?
What are you talking about?
Tim Curry.
Oh, Tim Curry.
I was like, wait, what are you referring to?
In It.
I was like, he's up on our blog.
He's up on our blog, Pennywise. So there's lots of him doing weird, creepy stuff, but it's also like 6 hours long because it was a miniseries.
God, I always forget that was Tim Curry. Like, I always forget that.
Never
was Tim
forget
Curry.
That it's Tim Curry.
Really?
Every time I see Tim Curry,
like,
I'm just
I can't
like,
forget that either.
I look at him and I see that, and then I also see him as the devil in that terrible movie with Tom
Legend.
Cruise.
Don't call it terrible. Legend. It's so bad.
What's terrible is I always see him as the concierge in Home Alone 2.
That's hilarious.
Really? Like, not even Clue?
I know! You would think Clue, because I actually saw that first. Or you would think Rocky Horror, but no.
Right.
No.
So many good options.
But yeah,
that's
so
okay. I usually think first
movie.
Of Muppet Treasure Island, if we're going to be totally
That is awesome. Muppet Treasure Island is underrated at this point.
Absolutely.
Deeply.
But yeah, so the bathroom movie this year is Hocus Pocus. So I'm super stoked about that because I love it so much. I used to think that it was funny because years before Sex and the City came out, I thought that Sarah Jessica Parker was such a babe. But really, it was just that her face was next to Bette Midler and
Kathy and Jimmy. And you're just like, wow, she's the hot one. You're like, ooh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not to... SJP, I think you've got fly style, but, you know...
And I love Bette Midler as well, but she was also, I mean, I feel like SJP was something like 19.
Well, and I also think, she was the youngest and easily the best looking out of all of them. But the other two, like, Kathy Najimy is always made up to look, you know, sort of dumpy.
And I mean, they get
that's what they want from her because she's the funny one,
movie.
You know?
They give her those teeth. But I will stand by my statement.
I think
SJP is a babe in that. I think they all kind of are.
Right?
And, like, I really love their witch outfits more than I can say.
Right?
Oh, yes.
Right? They're so good.
So much, so good.
So,
even Bette Midler's makeup.
I have a question,
go ahead.
Lindsay, regarding your list.
Yes.
You discussed Ellen Ripley.
Yeah.
At,
I'm disqualifying her for the purpose of this list, and I say that with all the love in the world for Ellen Ripley, but I wanted a pure horror list, so no horror sci-fi slasher crossover, because the other thing is the alien, the fact that she beats the alien would automatically rocket her into all five positions.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
like,
that's true.
It's just she's
well,
too good.
Okay, but Alien is a horror movie.
Yes, it is. It is, but it's set in space. I'm disqualifying it.
Space horror isn't real horror.
Space horror is different. It's different.
Maybe that's another year.
It's a different level. There are like airlocks and like escape pods.
It is because
I wanted girls
so
that
many...
were running on the ground.
It's a subgenre because you have Event Horizon, you have Sunshine, you have all
these
other
Event Horizon.
Pitch Black!
Pitch Black
Pitch
is amazing.
Black! Yes.
Pitch Black is such a good movie.
It's amazing.
Don't
it's really
even
good.
Laugh at me.
I enjoy Chronicles of Riddick 2, though, unabashedly.
Vin Diesel.
Oh, man. Who has two thumbs and is excited
Black,
for the next Fast and Furious movie? It's me. Yeah, so I thought that, too, like, another, like, you know, like, a cool point to make is that, like, when you're talking about subverting Final Girl, you have your Buffy, but you also have your, like, Carrie, where, you know, like, your Final Girl is actually your villain, and she survives this dreadful experience, and you're rooting for her, but there's no way it's gonna be okay after she's murdered everyone with her telekinesis.
Right. Yeah. There's also, in that category, I mean, not exactly the same way, but, like, Reagan in The Exorcist.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because the, well, I guess The Exorcist doesn't count as saying Carrie, what she's surviving is such a pedestrian, like that sounds like weird, but like such an everyday horror.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's something that so many people have gone through, which makes her instantly likable to so many people, or at least somebody who you connect with. Right. So when you see that happen and you see what actually is like going on, you're like, oh, fuck. Oh, I should be rooting against you, and yet I'm rooting against you.
Right, like, I should really not be supporting this.
Yeah. But I 100% like, support this. Those kids are douchebags. But yeah, Carrie.
Do you guys watch Adventure Time?
Yes, like, I love it.
You're a sociopath. I love that.
I love it too. But yeah, no, I think Adventure Time is. And it's just, it's so amazing.
Easily the best show on television.
Yes! We should do an Adventure Time episode at some point.
Yes!
When Flumpy has a chance to watch all 4 seasons.
I think I haven't seen it yet, and I really want to.
I haven't seen much of 4th season, but still.
Yeah, no, we could still talk about it. You can talk about it after you watch the first season. You guys want to...
You'll love it, I promise.
I swear to God, Flumps, you're going to adore it. Do you guys want to wrap up this show with a little discussion of our...
Sure.
Personal Halloween plans and desires. I'm going to the same Halloween party I've gone to for 3 years, and I couldn't be more excited about it. It's called the Boot Nanny, as in Boots Nanny.
I thought it was sort of more country than is actually allowable.
No, I live in Georgia. It's totally allowed. By which I mean we're all in the Jungle of Death. I'm going to the same party I've gone to for years, and I really love it, and it's with all the people I like the most, and everyone takes it super seriously, so the costumes are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's good, that's awesome.
I'm making, I think I mentioned before, my zombie brain jello, and then I'm also doing this, I've got the skull, and I'm gonna put cream cheese and prosciutto all over it, and drop a couple of onions in its eye sockets.
I like it. Nicely done.
Creepscape. But yeah, what about you guys?
I don't know what I'm doing yet. In Chicago, we always used to go, previous to the Jungle of Death, we always used to kind of go out to bars in Boys Town, and everybody took it really seriously, and it was great, because everybody just had these phenomenal costumes. Yeah. LA's a little harder. You get a lot more of the skimpy girl outfit that happens, a.k.a.
How many sexy big birds this year? How many?
Oh! That's the drinking game that I'm going to play on Halloween.
Please make it a sip game, not a shot game.
No, it's going to be shots. I don't have to work until, like, 5 o'clock the next day.
What?
But I don't know. We've got a couple of parties possibly that I'll be planning, which will be probably film people, which will be really funny. Not famous film people, like film student people. That might be kind of fun, because people, I have a feeling that in a film program are going to definitely take their costumes seriously.
For sure.
I would hope so.
Mm-hmm.
What about
you? I don't really have any serious plans. What? I think I'm probably going to end up going trick-or-treating with the 3-year-old that adopted me.
That's good. Binder into throwing a party.
Right? She's adorable. She's a terror, but I love her.
Yeah. She's your terror.
Right? Pretty much. So, yeah, I was invited to go trick-or-treating with them. I don't know what else we're going to do. We're probably going to hang out and, like, watch Halloween movies or something.
That sounds great.
Sounds awesome.
I'm going as Daenerys Targaryen. So I'll
Which outfit?
On the blog. I'm going to wear I've got some burlap. I'm going to wear the Dothraki princess outfit.
I have a lot more respect for people who are willing to go Dothraki than, displaced princess.
It's way cheaper, too, because I've got, like... Get like some silk dress, pardon.
Right.
Halloween. Yeah.
How about a potato sack?
Exactly.
Yeah. How about that?
And I got these $6 fake leather leggings off of eBay that I'm ridiculous in love with, and I wear them all the time now, and my coworkers think I am way more hardcore than I am.
That makes you a problem.
And I love it. but I'm paper macheing my dragons.
Nice.
So one of them's gonna sit. I got these arm armors, and I'm gonna have one sit right here on my shoulder.
I like that a lot.
Drogon.
That's pretty cool.
I think I'm going as Amelia Earhart this year.
That is so good. So good.
I'm really excited about it because last year I went as a koala, which was fine, but
it was
not
adorable.
As exciting. I did hang off people all night, which is my big shtick, but Amelia Earhart is a little bit more inherently cool.
I am so stoked about it. And then
I'm getting my helmet with the goggles, and I bought these pants at H&M just because I liked them, and they were $13, but now I realize they are perfect Amelia Earhart pants.
Yeah, dude, they're like Panta, I don't know, aviator pants.
Yeah, super awesome aviator pants, $13.
Nissa, are you going to dress up to hang out with your three-year-old?
I know somebody else who's going as Amelia Earhart this year.
That's cool.
I am. I'm going as Fiona from Adventure Time.
That is awesome!
Yay. The one gender swap.
Yes, that's so good.
I have the hat.
Show it.
I, like, ordered it off of Etsy. Oh, here.
Oh, my God. Okay, so here's what... Oh, it looks so good. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I'm pretty excited about it. My sister was appalled when she saw it.
Yet it looks adorable.
Yeah, well, Flumpy, you should be encouraged to watch.
I bought the, like, mini skirt on sale from Express, and I've got a shirt that I, like, special ordered, and, like, I even have the socks. I'm very excited.
That is so awesome. I am so stoked.
I'm only missing the green backpack, but I figure whatever.
Whatever. So what I was going to say is I think that we should make a pact for our listeners that we will post a picture of ourselves, in our Halloween costumes, so that we can, you know, show them what, you know, a diversity of costumes are. Plus everyone just likes to look at costumes. Let's be honest.
Totally. I like that. We could do that.
So, listeners, we hope to be back with you shortly, with another new episode, but thank you so much for joining us here in the Jungle of Death, and have a happy and safe Halloween.
Ooh. Ooh.